Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Back to Old School with DP and J on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
As promised, there's the Jay Foreman check-in about how colleges, universities might find a way to pay their student athletes, maybe involving back pay. We'll see, and I'm sure we'll keep talking about it. Austin Norman back with you for another half an hour here inside the 93.7 The Ticket studios. Top of the hour, we'll get you out to Kansas City. Royals return home after taking a series from the Blue Jays. First time since 2017, Royals have won a series up in Toronto. They come home to face the defending world champions, the Texas Rangers. I believe that's a three-game set Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then a three-game set against the Milwaukee Brewers Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Brewers beat the Cubs today 3-1. Craig Counsell's first game managed against his former team, the Brewers. Got a couple buddies who are Brewers fans. They are fired up having defeated Craig Counsell in the first matchup of those two teams since he defected to an NL Central rival. Sticking with baseball, didn't get all the way through my thoughts on a 6445's text. How will Nebraska baseball do in the Big Ten tournament? The old adage is true. It comes down to pitching. And you feel good about Nebraska's Friday and Saturday guys, the guys that would start the first two games of the tournament in Brett Sears and Mason McConaughey. And then it's all up in the air because the Big Ten tournament is not just played on weekends, right? It's not just Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's a darn near week-long deal, you know, at least Friday to Tuesday, Friday to Wednesday most often. So because of that, not only is Nebraska playing in the midweek where it's struggled for multiple reasons. In multiple facets. Some nights it's been the offense that hasn't come through. But most often it's been the pitching. And just the lack of consistent pitching depth is what worries me when it comes to Nebraska in the Big Ten baseball tournament. Sure, there are teams that are better at pitching in the Big Ten, some that are worse. I think Nebraska's offense can hang with pretty much any in the Big Ten. Yeah, it can get a little strikeout happy at times. It hasn't been clutch. We've noted that on this program and others. But you still feel really good about the depth of talent, of ability to get on base, to move a guy, of the buy-in to the team-based approach that Nebraska has up and down the lineup. I think there's a lot of capable hitters, a lot of capable defenders as well. Where you're worried is with the pitching staff. Just because outside of the Brockett no-no, which is incredible. And you hope that's a turning point for that young man who really flashed as a freshman, fell out of favor this year before probably the best performance of his life. It's unfortunate that Nebraska hasn't been able to find not just a consistent midweek guy, but really a consistent Sunday guy either. Nebraska's bounced back and forth between a number of guys throughout the year. So if Nebraska doesn't even have its Sunday pitcher settled, makes it tough for me to believe they'll get their midweek guys settled. You see Creighton take the by-committee approach that's worked well against Nebraska. That's what a lot of teams do in the midweek. They use it as opportunities for different guys to get on the bump, toss some pitches, see how they react to live action. Hasn't always been great for Nebraska. There have been some major blow-ups. There have been some mild successes. And then the outlier is the Brockett no-no, which, absolutely incredible feat. 107 pitches in nine innings, 12 strikeouts, huge. Two walks and an error are the only base runners. Obviously, none of the Wildcats of Kansas State to reach base came around to score in Nebraska's 8-0 win. I feel pretty good about Nebraska getting to the Big Ten semis. But I still think if Nebraska is going to win the Big Ten tournament, it's going to be out of the loser's bracket side. Would I be shocked if Nebraska goes in as the top overall seed in Omaha? No, I absolutely would not be. I think Nebraska should go into each of its three remaining conference series as the favorite. Confident, ready to win. And Nebraska's handled Big Ten play pretty well, all things considered. You have the losing weekend against Rutgers. Otherwise, Nebraska's taking care of business. You get a road series at Minnesota starting tonight. Crowbait, you mentioned it. Brett Sears pitching tonight. It's a lock. I hope you knocked on some wood there, my friend. We feel very confident about what Brett Sears has done and what he brings to the table. Minnesota is not great right now. They are sitting near the bottom of the standings. They're 6-9 overall, currently fourth from last place. But it's baseball, right? Funny things can happen. Nebraska can't take Brett Sears pitching for granted. They have to go out, have a good game, win game one of the series, and put themselves in position to win it tomorrow. Started out on Friday. You look at Nebraska getting Indiana at home next weekend. That's big. Indiana right now tied with Nebraska. Very similar overall records, in fact. They're both 10-5 in conference. Nebraska is 28-15. Indiana is 25-18. So just a few games difference between those two teams, but they're tied in the conference standings. Purdue and Illinois play each other. Nebraska doesn't get either of those teams, and Nebraska's only a game back. So if Nebraska wants the overall top seed in the Big Ten tournament, it sweeps Minnesota, and it sweeps Michigan State. Sparty right now just a game ahead of Minnesota. It's 7-8 in the conference, 19-22. Overall, below 500, only 9-7 at home. So if Nebraska wants the simplest path through to the semifinals and beyond, it sweeps its two road weekends and wins the series against Indiana at Haymarket Park. Minnesota and Michigan State both have RPIs at least in the hundreds, if not the 110s, 120s. Indiana is hovering between 60-75, last I checked. By far the stiffest test of the three remaining. It's hard to sweep a team, regardless of whether it's at home or on the road in conference play. But if Nebraska wants to finally flex its muscle and say, we are here to be taken seriously, we are here as a legitimate player, Nebraska sweeps Minnesota, Nebraska beats South Dakota State, Nebraska takes 2 of 3 at least from Indiana, and then you put an exclamation mark on the regular season with the sweep of Michigan State. I'm not saying it's what's going to happen. I wouldn't put money on it. But if Nebraska really wants to reestablish itself as, hey, this is a team to be taken seriously in Omaha for the Big Ten tournament and to avoid a crappy draw in an NCAA regional, Nebraska's got to send a statement here over the next 3 weekends. Within the realm of possibility, now it's up to the team to go out and prove it. On the softball front, they are in action also at Minnesota. First pitch coming up here in just about 20 minutes or so. Husker softball in the middle of the pack, top of the middle of the pack in the Big Ten. They sit in fifth right now. They're 10-8. Minnesota is 12-8 in conference play. The Huskers one game better overall than the Golden Gophers. 27-21 are the Huskers. 26-22 are Minnesota. Of course, this is...
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is the final series of the regular season for the Nebraska softball team. They will start Big Ten tournament play on Wednesday the 8th. That'll run through Saturday the 11th. A lot of stuff going on there in Husker Bat and Ball sports. Missed opportunities for both teams. Softball, I think you can throw back more to an injury-riddled season. The most injury-riddled that Rhonda Revell says she's remembered in her career. And Rhonda Revell's a legend. She's been doing this a long time. So if it's an all-time season for Rhonda Revell in terms of injuries, that means something. No, outside of just Jordy Ball, plenty of other players have gone down for, you know, some a couple weeks at a time. Others have been lost for the season. So U.S. Custer softball the best as well in their season finale trip to Minneapolis. A couple other things to get to on the text line here. Dalton says, round two NHL playoffs start Sunday. Go Avalanche. Sure, I'll jump on the Avs bandwagon in the NHL playoffs. Dalton, tell me who the key players are. Are they the team with Nathan MacKinnon, I want to say his name is? If they are, let me know. I am more than happy to jump on the Avalanche bandwagon, at least for now. 53-54, how's fatherhood going? It's great, man. It's freaking awesome. I can't appreciate my wife any more than I do. She's amazing in taking care of him, providing for him, making sure the house is still running smoothly. Can't appreciate the little guy anymore. He's just about to be 7 months old next week. Time's flying. He's growing up. He's a handful, couple hands full. Still don't know what I'm doing with him. But, man, the smiles, the laughs, the giggles, whatever might be tough about it, you see that, you come home to a big old smile from him. Man, it just absolutely makes my day. Can't say enough, can't be appreciative enough of his grandparents. The grandmas especially coming over and they're babysitting when I'm at work and my wife's at work. Gigi and Mimi are incredible, absolutely amazing. And the grandpas, right? Their support system, they don't want to give the babies up when they get their hands on him. So our parents have been absolutely phenomenal and have been a great, not just support system for us, you know, through the birth of our kid, but also just in general. So Mom and Dad Orman, Mom and Dad Kylig, really appreciate you guys. And I hope we show that and we love you very much. Some more to get to in the wide world of sports as it relates to Nebraska. Mike Riley, former Nebraska head coach, in the news today. He's on the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. How about that? The tournament expands to 12 teams, and Mike Riley gets added to the selection committee. He replaces Patrick Chun, who stepped down when he took over as Washington's new AD. So how about those dominoes? Okay, so Kalen DeBoer leaves Washington for Alabama. Not long after that, Troy Dannon leaves Washington after, what, 6 months? I think he got there in October, and he left, became Nebraska's athletic director. Was that last month? I think early last month or late March. He's not there very long. He comes to Nebraska. Patrick Chun was the athletic director at Washington State, who, of course, lost a lot of its power, lost its seat at the table with the dissolution or the coming dissolution of the Pac-12 conference. So Pat Chun jumps ship from Washington State to take over for Troy Dannon at Washington. Because of that transition, because of that move, he decides to step down off the College Football Playoff Committee. Mike Riley takes his spot on, I believe it's still the 12-member committee. I'm trying to get the rest of the names pulled up here for this coming year. Yeah, okay, 2024-2025 Selection Committee roster. Okay, you have Chris Ault, Patrick Chung stepped down for Mike Riley, Chet Gladchick, Jim Grobe. That's a name that's been around college football for a long time. Mac Rhodes, the AD, I believe, still at Baylor, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, seventh year at Baylor for Mac Rhodes. He's on the committee. Gary Pinkle. How about that? Gary Pinkle, former Missouri head coach. You have Randall McDaniel. You have Ward Manuel still on the college football playoff selection committee for the 24-25 season. That's an interesting one to me. I wonder how the other 11 members in that room look at Ward Manuel. I know business in that room is different, is handled differently than we think it is. We can have our perceptions from the outside, but there are very few, if any of us, you know, clearly not me talking on the airwaves, and I'm sure plenty of you listening haven't been in those, you know, high level upper management style, you know, conversations in the realm of college sports. Now, pardon me as I sneeze. I really wonder what Ward Manuel's reputation is in that room. Before everything came out last year with Michigan about Connor Stallions, even before the Harbaugh, you know, COVID violations for practicing and recruiting to some degree, I thought Ward Manuel was doing a really good job as athletic director at Michigan. I thought he was a younger, up-and-comer, riser in the ranks that was, you know, in a few years, really going to be a powerful voice in college football. You see Michigan climb back to the top of the pyramid, but how'd they do it? Ward Manuel, you know, has to be the company man, right? He's not judge, jury, and executioner. He's got to kind of play the middle line with Jim Harbaugh and everything coming down from the NCAA. Jim Harbaugh's Ward Manuel's guy. Really, he has to stick up for him. So I think there's going to be a view of Ward Manuel that says he's a loyal guy. He sticks with his own, but maybe plenty of other people are seeing it as Ward Manuel didn't have the cojones to do anything more. He was soft on Jim Harbaugh. He didn't take the integrity and brand of Michigan seriously. He took Jim Harbaugh as a great coach, and it was winning or else. So I would love to know just how Ward Manuel is viewed in the college football playoff selection committee. The rest of the selection committee, David Saylor, Kelly Whiteside, Carla Williams, Hunter Yurecek, who's the AD at Arkansas, of course, just lured John Calipari away from Kentucky. And hey, how about this, Husker fans? Will Shields, still a member of the 2024-2025 selection committee. I assume since Will's not an athletic director for Nebraska, he can still be in the room and give a little bit of a stump speech for his former program, but still think that's probably a couple of years down the road. I know we just got done with spring ball, but how about this for the last segment of Old School for the week? Text in your Husker football record predictions to 402-464-5685, or you can comment on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, or Twitter. Both of those options brought to you by our friends at Sartor Heyman Jewelers, just down the block from us at 12th and O. Husker football record predictions. We can go through it game by game to end out Old School when we get back.
You're listening to Old School with DP and J. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.